Welcome to NeuroSavvy. Let's think about healing today. Maybe. Maybe not just in terms of chemistry, you know, the drugs and molecules we usually talk about. What if there's something else? Something more fundamental, like a hidden language the body uses for building itself, for repair.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it takes us right into this really fascinating area of bioelectricity.
Bioelectricity. Okay, when I hear that, I immediately think nerve impulses, like zap, zap, zap.
Right, and that's definitely part of it. But it's much broader than just those fast signals in neurons. We're also talking about these stable, persistent voltage differences. They exist across the membranes of, well, pretty much every living cell.
Every cell, not just nerve.
Every cell. They're called resting membrane potentials.
Ah, okay. So not just quick messages, but like a background electrical state. Oh. Always on.
Exactly. Think of it almost like a silent language, or maybe like an electrical landscape spread across your tissues. It's kind of like this essential software running quietly all the time, orchestrating these incredibly complex things the body does.
Complex things. What sort of processes are we talking about here? Can you give an example?
Sure. Well, during development, for instance, growing a limb, making sure all the parts end up in the right spot, bioelectricity helps guide that intricate process. And then throughout life, it's absolutely crucial for things like healing a cut, you know, directing cells where to go, when to divide, how to organize.
So it's guiding how tissues form and fix themselves.
Fundamentally, yes. It's a basic layer of control.
Okay, so if this electrical blueprint is so vital for guiding structure and healing, what happens if it gets messed up? Like, how might that play out in a condition such as multiple sclerosis?
Yeah, that's really the million-dollar question researchers are digging into now. We know MS involves chronic inflammation, right? Often linked to the immune system. Now, while we don't necessarily have evidence that, say, some old virus directly short-circuits these fields initially, we do know inflammation dramatically changes how ion channels behave.
Ion channels. Okay, those are the little gates controlling charged particles moving in and out of cells, the things that actually create those membrane potentials.
Precisely. So inflammation comes along and basically, well, messes with those gates. And when that happens, it disrupts those stable resting potentials. It interferes with that whole electrical landscape, not just in the neurons losing their myelin, but also, crucially, in other cells nearby, like the glial cells that are supposed to be supporting and repairing things.
Ah, okay. So it's not just about the myelin insulation getting damaged physically. The inflammation itself might also be scrambling the underlying electrical instructions, the ones needed to guide the repair crews.
That's the core idea, the postulate being explored. If these bioelectric patterns are like the navigational beacons for tissue repair, then having dysfunctional or, let's say, scrambled bioelectric fields in MS could be a big reason why remyelination, the body's attempt to fix the myelin, often just stalls out or doesn't work properly.
Right. And the really exciting possibility then, even if it's still, you know, speculative for MS right now, is if we could somehow nudge that bioelectric signaling back towards a healthy pattern, could that actually maybe wake up some of those dormant repair processes in the brain and spinal cord?
That's exactly the frontier this line of thinking opens up. And there are some fascinating ideas emerging about how we might even try to sort of rewrite or restore that electrical blueprint.
Okay, let's unpack that. How would you even interact with this silent electrical symphony, as you called it?
Well, one potential route is trying to modulate specific ion channels.
The gates again.
Exactly. Since they control the potentials, maybe you could use targeted molecules or specific signals to influence their activity, kind of fine-tuning the cell's voltage settings back towards a more healthy state.
Okay, influencing the channels directly. What about applying electricity from the outside?
Yes, that's another major approach. Applying controlled electrical fields directly to the damaged areas. And this isn't pure science fiction. It's shown some promise in experimental models, especially for helping nerves regenerate after an injury. The thinking is, if the internal electrical guide is broken, maybe an external one can help.
That makes a certain kind of intuitive sense, yeah. Using electricity to help electrical systems heal. Are there other ideas maybe involving physical structures?
Definitely. People are exploring the concept of bioelectric scaffolds.
Scaffolds? Like tiny structures?
Yeah. Imagine tiny implantable structures. You'd place them in the demyelinated areas. They could be made of conductive materials or maybe even contain cells that naturally generate electric fields. The idea is to basically recreate a healthy electrical gradient, giving the repair cells a kind of physical and electrical track to follow.
A track for the myelin-making cells?
Yeah.
Interesting. And I think I saw mention of something really cutting edge. Using light.
Ah, you're talking about optogenetics. Yes. It's a powerful research tool right now. It involves genetically engineering specific cells so you can control them with light, shine a light, and you can turn them on or off, or relevant here, precisely control their electrical state.
Wow.
So the hypothetical idea for MS would be, could you use light to program the electrical behavior of key repair cells, like those oligodendrocyte precursors that need to mature and make myelin, guide them towards doing their job?
Okay, these are some really different ways of thinking. It feels like a shift, moving beyond just managing symptoms or fighting the immune system,
yeah,
towards actually trying to understand, maybe even restore, the body's own fundamental electrical plan for building and repairing itself.
Exactly. And what makes this compelling is that this idea leveraging the body's electrical side for healing isn't just speculative for future neurotherapies. It's already happening in other areas.
Really? Where is this kind of thing already in use?
Well, a prime example is wound healing, electrical stimulation therapy, sometimes called ES. It's actually a recognized, proven technique.
For wounds, like cuts and sores.
Yeah, particularly for chronic wounds that are slow to heal, like diabetic ulcers or pressure sores. Low-level electrical currents are applied externally. And studies show it really works. It can speed up wound closure, cut down inflammation, boost the growth of new blood vessels, angiogenesis, which is vital.
Yeah.
And it directly influences how key skin cells, like fibroblasts and keratinocytes, move and multiply to close the gap.
How does the electricity do that?
Well, the thinking is it interacts with the natural electrochemical signals that cells normally use to coordinate during healing. Different types of current, direct, alternating, pulsed seem to tap into these communication pathways. And the question researchers are asking is, could similar principles apply to healing lesions inside the brain?
Okay, so that's external stimulation for skin wounds. What about using electricity or magnetism within the nervous system, say after a stroke? Is there anything there?
Absolutely. That's another really strong parallel. Stroke recovery research is heavily exploring non-invasive brain stimulation techniques. The goal is to boost neuroplasticity, the brain's amazing ability to rewire itself.
And electromagnetic fields are part of that picture.
Yes, exactly. Specifically, techniques using extremely low frequency, low intensity electromagnetic fields. You might see it abbreviated as ELF, EMF. Preclinical work suggests these fields can positively affect key cellular processes for stroke recovery, things like calcium signaling, reducing oxidative stress, calming inflammation.
And I read about something called ENTF therapy in that context.
Right, electromagnetic network targeting field therapy. That's a really novel approach using these ELF, EMF fields. It's non-invasive, and it even uses a brain-computer interface to try and personalize the treatment.
Personalize how? What's the core idea?
Well, you know how healthy brain function relies on these complex, synchronized electrical patterns and neural networks? We measure them as brain waves or oscillations.
Yeah, the rhythms of the brain.
Exactly. They're fundamental for everything from moving your arm to thinking complex thoughts. But after an injury like a stroke, these network patterns get seriously disrupted.
Okay.
So ENTF therapy works on the principle that neural networks are sensitive to electrical and magnetic fields, especially at specific frequencies. The hypothesis is that applying these oscillating ELF, EMF fields designed based on analyzing healthy brain activity patterns can help coax the damaged networks back towards better synchronization and help them reorganize.
Like giving the network an external rhythm to follow, based on a healthy template.
Kind of like that, yes. It's trying to help restore functional communication within those impaired circuits.
So whether it's using electricity to speed up skin healing or using specific electromagnetic frequencies to help retune brain networks after stroke, the underlying theme seems to be tapping into the body's own electrical nature to promote repair and function.
It really is. It's about recognizing that electrical signaling isn't just for nerves firing fast. It's a fundamental organizer for tissues, for repair, for how things are built and maintained.
Now, we absolutely have to stress here, applying these exact ideas directly to remyelination in MS is still, you know, largely in the research and speculative phase. It needs a ton more rigorous work.
Oh, absolutely. This is definitely a frontier. The parallels we just talked about, wound healing, stroke recovery, are incredibly encouraging because they show the principle works. You can use these forces therapeutically. But translating that successfully to the very specific, complex environment of MS requires immense care, validation, ethical thought, and a much deeper biological understanding.
Still, it does feel like a really significant shift in perspective, doesn't it? Looking beyond the usual chemistry and immune angles to consider this deeper foundational electrical blueprint.
It's like trying to understand and maybe even speak the body's oldest language of organization.
Okay, so let's pull together a few key takeaways for you, the listener, from our conversation today.
First, maybe start thinking about your body's electrical dimension beyond just nerve signals. Bioelectricity, those stable membrane potentials, is a fundamental organizer for growth and repair everywhere.
Second, consider the possibility that chronic conditions like MS might involve a breakdown in these electrical signals. It adds another layer to understanding the disease beyond just the physical damage we usually focus on.
Third, definitely keep an eye on the research into electrical and electromagnetic therapies. It's a field that's really heating up, with proven uses already, like in wound healing and exciting potential in stroke, and maybe, down the line, other neurological conditions.
And finally, just recognizing that this electrical blueprint exists and that learning how to interact with it, well, that could be key to unlocking new ways to help the body heal itself. New regenerative abilities we're only just starting to grasp.
Yeah, imagine for a moment, what if healing MS isn't solely about calming the immune system or protecting what's left? What if it's also about restoring that ancient electrical plan that perhaps every cell still remembers on some level? What kinds of possibilities does that truly open up for how we understand and treat these complex conditions in the future?
Feed your mind, challenge your thinking, and we'll reconnect next time on NeuroSavvy.